Hello and welcome to BIX is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of BIX Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the BIXography website. In the BIX is Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of BIX Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings by other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of BIX's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will feature various segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. Eddie Lang was born 108 years ago on October 25th, just a few days ago, so I decided to devote this program to a tribute to Eddie Lang. And the way that I propose to do this is by playing a number of tunes composed by Eddie Lang, some by himself, others in collaboration with another musician. And I will also include in the program the few recordings that Eddie Lang made as a band leader. First, let me read from Who's Who of Jazz by John Chilton what he tells us about Eddie Lang. Born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 25th October 1902, died New York, 28th March 1933. His father was a fretted instrument maker. Eddie's sister, Edie, worked on guitar during the 1930s. Began on violin at age of 7, studied with teachers in Philadelphia. While still in school, became a friend of Joe Venuti and for much of his career worked alongside him. First professional work on violin at L'Iglo Restaurant, Philadelphia. Worked on banjo with Chick Granisi's trio around 1918. With Charlie Kerr's band, 1920-23, on banjo and guitar, doubling violin, with Bert Estlow in Atlantic City and Vic DiPolito, 1923. Scranton Sirens until summer 1924, then joined Mount City Blue Blowers. Later that year, visited London with the Mount City Blue Blowers. Prolific freelance radio and recording work on guitar from 1925. Summer session with Vic DiPolito, 1926, with Joe Venuti's band in New York, September 1926. 2 months later, Lang and Venuti joined Roger Wolfkan. They also did a series of theater shows for Don Voorhees and played in Adrian Rollini's short-lived big band, October 1927. They co-led at Vanity Club, New York, autumn 1928. Both worked with Paul Whiteman from May 1929 until May 1930, including appearances in the film King of Jazz. Extensive freelance work, again with Roger Wolfkan, spring 1932. For the last year of his life, Lang was mainly employed as accompanist to Bing Crosby. He died from complications following a tonsillectomy. There is a new website dedicated to Eddie Lang. It's Eddie Lang, one word, no space, eddielang.com. Lots of information and more to come in it. I heartily advise you to take a look at that. Okay, let's get started with the music. The first two recordings that I want to play are composed by Eddie Lang by himself. First, Eddie's Twister, recorded on April 1st, 1927, with Eddie Lang on guitar and Arthur Schott on piano. I'll tell you about Arthur Schott after I play these two recordings. Then I'll play April Kisses, recorded April 1st, 1927, and we have Eddie Lang on guitar, only it's a beautiful waltz. So let's listen then to two compositions of Eddie Lang, 1927. Thank you. I forgot to mention the magnificent book by Ray Mitchell, Raymond F. Mitchell, Feeling My Way, a discography of the recordings of Eddie Lang, 1923-1933. It is a very complete discography of Eddie Lang's recordings. And also, in the biography that I read from Who's Who of Jazz, there is no mention of the numerous recordings that Bix made with Eddie Lang. In particular, I will point out that Singing the Blues can be viewed as a duet between Bix and Eddie Lang during the solo that Bix takes in that recording. Well, I mentioned that I was going to tell you a little something about Arthur Schott, so here is what Who's Who of Jazz by John Chilton tells us. Born in Reading, Pennsylvania, 21st November 1902, just a month after Eddie Lang. Died in San Francisco, California, January 28, 1965. Taught piano by his father, played piano in local movie houses from the age of 13, was heard by leader Paul Specht, who signed him for his orchestra around 1918. For the next 6 years, Schott worked mainly for Specht, including Trip to London in 1923, worked for Roger Wolfkahn and Don Voorhees. Again, these two names showed up in the biography that I read of Eddie Lang. Then long spell of studio and recording work with the Joe Rhines Orchestra, Fred Rich, Nat Childress, etc. During the late 1920s and early 1930s, took part in countless freelance recording sessions with Red Nichols, Frank Tombauer, Bix Beiderbecke, Joe Venuti, Benny Goodman, etc. Led on band in New York in late 1930s, played briefly with Bud Freeman at Kelly's Stables in spring 1939, then again led on band during the 1940s and 50s, was mainly active as a studio musician in Hollywood, working for MGM, Columbia, etc. In 1961, he played piano at a bowling alley social club in Los Angeles, then long spell of ill health. Now let's get back to the music, and I want to play two recordings composed by Eddie Lang and Frank Signorelli. First one is Melody Man's Dream with Eddie Lang on guitar and Frank Signorelli on piano. That was recorded on October 21st, 1927. Then I'll play Perfect, another composition by Eddie Lang and Frank Signorelli, recorded also on October 1st, 1927. I will tell you about Frank Signorelli after I play these two recordings. So here is Eddie Lang with Frank Signorelli, the compositions, 1927. Thank you. I am surprised that in the Who's Who of Jazz by John Chilton, the biography by Arthur Schott doesn't mention the numerous recordings that Arthur Schott made with Red Nichols and his Five Pennies. Okay, I mentioned that I was going to give or read a biography of Frank Signorelli from Who's Who of Jazz. Here it is. He was born in New York City, May 24, 1901, died in Brooklyn, December 9, 1975. Originally taught piano by his cousin, Pasquale Signorelli, founder, member of Original Memphis Five from 1917, worked briefly with the Original Dixieland Jazz Band in 1921, then resumed with Original Memphis Five from the mid-1920s, did prolific freelance work for radio, recording, and theater. Left the Original Memphis Five in September 1926, joined Joe Venuti, member of Adrian Rollini's short-lived New Yorkers band, September-October 1927, recorded with Joe Venuti, Ed Lang, Big Spiderbeck, etc. In late 1920s and early 1930s, enjoyed great success as a composer, played in reformed ODJB, then from summer of 1938 joined Paul Whiteman. During the 1940s and 50s, continued to play regularly, worked with Bobby Hackett at Nick's in 1947, then at same venue with Phil Napoleon from late 1940s. Took part in television shows with specially reformed Original Memphis Five. During the late 1950s, played solo spots in Greenwich Village. Let's continue with the music now. I want to play a couple of recordings of compositions by Eddie Lang and Lonnie Johnson. First, Two-Tone Stomp, recorded November 17, 1928, as Blind Willie Dunn, and Blind Willie Dunn was a pseudonym for Eddie Lang and Lonnie Johnson. And then I'll play a handful of riffs, also a composition by Eddie Lang and Lenny Johnson, recorded May 8, 1929. So here is, I will tell you about Lonnie Johnson after I play these two recordings, Eddie Lang with Lonnie Johnson, 1927. Thank you. I mentioned I was going to give you some information about Lonnie Johnson. This is from Who's Who of Jazz. Alonzo Lonnie Johnson was born in New Orleans February 8, 1899, there is question mark, and died in Toronto June 16, 1970. Brother of pianist James Steady Roll Johnson, did local gigs with his brother, also played violin and guitar in cafes and theaters in New Orleans. Sailed to Europe 1917, did review work in London and theater tours. Returned to New Orleans to find that the 1918-19 flu epidemic had almost wiped out his entire family. Moved on to St. Louis, 1922. Worked with Charlie Creath, Fate Marable, Ned Robinson, etc., mainly on violin and piano. Worked in a steel foundry for 2 years, but continued gigging, mainly on violin and piano. Circa 1925, he entered and won a talent contest organized by the OK Record Company. Shortly afterwards, he began his prolific recording career, worked as an OK staff musician until 1932. From this period onwards, he specialized on guitar, but also did some recorded work on piano and violin. During the OK years, he recorded with countless artists, including Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, and Lang, etc. 1932, he moved to Cleveland and played on and off for a few years with Putney Dandridge Band. Played on numerous local radio shows, also did day work in Galesburg Lyre Factory and in Cleveland Steel Mill. Moved to Chicago in 1937, worked with Johnny Dodds, then became house musician at the Three Deuces until 1939. Led on quartet at Boulevard Lounge, 1940. Squires Club, 1942. From the mid-1940s, he began appearing as a solo vocalist, accompanying himself on amplified guitar. Recorded singles and composed the bestseller Tomorrow Night, 1948. He visited London for a concert appearance in June 1952, returned to the USA and made the Cincinnati his home base for several years until moving to Philadelphia, where he worked for a time as a chef at the Benjamin Franklin Hotel until the early 1960s. He toured Europe in the autumn of 1963 as part of a blues package. Earlier that year, he had appeared with Duke Ellington in New York. From the mid-1960s, he worked regularly in Toronto, Canada, also did some touring in 1969, was injured in an accident, then suffered a stroke which sent him for many months to the Riversdale Hospital, Toronto. Sang at Toronto Blues Concert in 1970. Quite a life, quite a varied life. Okay, now I want to play several recordings that Eddie Lang made under his own name as with a band. The first two are Freeze and Melt and Hot Heels, both recorded on May 29, 1929. We have Eddie Lang on guitar, Leo McCampbell on trumpet, Tommy Dorsey on trumpet and trombone, Jimmy Dorsey on alto sax clarinet, Arthur Schott on piano, Joe Tardo on bass, Stan King on drums. Now this is May 22, 1929, just around the time that Eddie Lang joined Paul Whiteman. So the musicians that he had in this band were musicians that he himself, I guess, gathered, because the next session of October 5th, 1929, all the musicians are from Paul Whiteman's band. Anyway, you can see many of the names in Eddie Lang's band of May 22nd, 1929 are of musicians who recorded with Bix. We have, in fact, I think every one of them, Leo McCampbell, Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey, Arthur Schott, Joe Tardo, Stan King. So now let's listen then to Eddie Lang and his orchestra, May 22nd, 1929. ¶¶ Now I want to play a couple of recordings that Eddie Lang and his orchestra made on October 5th, 1929. At this time, the Paul Whiteman Band had returned from California, where they had tried to make the film The King of Jazz, but there were some problems, and they returned to New York in early September 1929. So now, since this is at a time that Eddie Lang was with Paul Whiteman, his musicians in his band are mostly from Paul Whiteman's organization. We have Andy Sechrest and Charlie Margulis on trumpet, Bill Rank on trombone, Bernard Daly and Charlie Strickfaden on alto sax, Izzy Friedman on clarinet, tenor sax. Here is an oddity, Henry Whiteman on violin. Henry Whiteman was not a member of the Paul Whiteman band, and Joe Venuti was around, I think, at the time, so I'm not sure I understand that. Howie Carmichael on piano and celeste. Again, Howie Carmichael was not a member of the Paul Whiteman band. He had recorded with Paul Whiteman his own composition, Washboard Blues, in 1927, but in 1929 he was not a member of the band. My recollection is that he came back from California with the Paul Whiteman band. We also have Mike Trafficante on bass and George Marsh on drums. So let's listen then to two recordings of Eddie Lang and his orchestra. Walking the Dog first, March of the Hoodlums, a composition by Howie Carmichael. This is 1929. Thank you. can see that the style of Eddie Lang's orchestra in 1929 had evolved already from what hot bands from 1927 were playing. Okay, I couldn't have a program of compositions by Eddie Lang without having one by Eddie Lang and Joe Venuti. So I'll play now two compositions by Venuti and Lang. First, Sunshine. This is from January 24, 1927. And then the first recording that Joe Venuti and Eddie Lang made, that's Stringing the Blues. They tried three takes on September 29, 1926, all unissued. Then again, four takes on October 22, 1926, again unissued. Finally on November 8, 1926, they got take 8 to be issued, and then also take 11 that was issued on that same day. So here is then Eddie Lang with Joe Venuti in their compositions. First Sunshine, 1927, and then Stringing the Blues, the first ever recording of Joe Venuti and Eddie Lang, November 6, 1926. Well, I hope you have enjoyed this program in honor of Eddie Lang's birthday 108 years ago in October, and in particular the fact that these are all compositions by Eddie Lang, played by him with only one other musician, except for the group of recordings that Eddie Lang made under his own name, Eddie Lang and His Orchestra. Well, let's get back to Bix now. Come to the end of today's edition of Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 4 weeks over WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website, for a new edition of the program. Until next time, this is Albert Haim saying, through his music, Bix is alive.